Texaco Star Theater. The more than 45,000 Texaco dealers from coast to coast welcome you to an hour of mirth and melody with our star comedian Fred Allen, Kenny Baker and Portland Harper, Wynn Murray and Al Goodman's orchestra. It's Texaco time. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've been looking for relief from the warm weather, we now present that comic cyclone.
Yes.
That breezy buffoon.
Here, here.
That zephyr zany.
Yeah,
in other words, that bag of wind. Oh, Fred Allen, in person.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know what's going on here. The program starts, and Mr. Goodman, the first thing, leaves out a chord. Could we have that chord now? Could we play the chord? I mean, after all. As long as you're in here, you may as well get the whole program. And now, the show started, and Jimmy, you were over there. Now, you can make it faster from over there to the microphone. Go ahead, now, try it again. And
try it this way.
Yes, you can. You can. Come on. And here he is.
How's
all
that?
All right. All right. Now, the next thing I... Don't laugh now. Your mustache goes up your nose when you do it. And another thing I want to take up with you before I forget it, about this opening here. You just called me a bag of wind. Now, speaking of wind, Mr. Wallington, you are no air pocket yourself. You have called me some terrible things on this program, Mr. W., but a bag of wind, that's the worst yet.
Oh, Fred.
That's the last straw.
Fred.
That cures me. I'll never speak to you again.
You won't tell this next joke with me?
You heard me. I'm not talking to you.
Not even in the commercials?
No.
Not even if I ask you a question?
No.
But you've got to talk to someone. Who will you talk to?
Well, don't worry about me. I feel like talking. I can talk to Mr. Goodman here.
Oh, yeah? What can you say to Goodman?
What can I say? I can always say, Mr. Goodman, will you join me in turning to the latest news of the week? Now, wait a minute. What a musician. Even his fanfares are in broken English. He's leading with a crooked stick or something. Now, wait a minute. Mr. Goodman, can we have a fresh fanfare? One of those I saw in the window? Well, that's better. The Texaco News presents its highlight from the world of news. Broadway, New York. As the seasonal curtain drops on the Broadway theater this month, many actors succumb to the lure of the summer playhouse. Little theater groups spring up in barns and haylofts around the country, dispossessing crops and cattle in the name of art. Tonight, the Texaco News interviews a group of obscure nobodies who are involved in summer theater activities this year. First, Mr. Titus Craw, a farmer who turned his barn over to a group of actors.
Don't mention actors to me.
What, just a
Don't mention actors to me.
Well, I...
Show me an actor and I'll show you Jezebel every time.
Well, now, Mr. Craw, please. If you don't like actors, why did you turn your barn into a summer theater last year?
Well, I'll tell you. Last summer we had a bad drought. It was a sizzler.
The heat bother your crops?
Shriveled everything.
Did, huh?
My cucumbers got so hot they was giving off a dull green glow.
Your cucumbers?
Yeah, they looked like Mazda pickles on a neon vine.
You're lucky they didn't get hot enough to weld the summer squash on the string beans. Ripley would have moved in and taken over the farm. Well, it must have been terrible.
I had to wet my feet to walk around the farm.
Why?
Radishes was giving me the hot foot.
Give it.
Well, I seen the harvest was going to be a mess of clinkers.
So you rented your barn?
To the Tinker Bell Players. Don't mention actors to me.
Well, don't get excited, Mr. Craw. What happened?
Well, first thing I knew, my barn was full of berets with actors under them.
Yeah, really? Did they live with you?
They was too cheap to pay room rent. They stayed out back of the barn.
The actors lived in the field?
They slept 2 acres of my corn flat the first week.
They did, huh? Well, how did they eat?
On the sly.
On the sly, hey?
Hens started disappearing from the coops.
Yeah.
Eggs was missing from the nests. Turkeys started going one by one.
You couldn't catch them, huh?
Not first off. They was too cute for me.
They were.
And then one day I swooped down.
What caused you to swoop?
Well, this morning I'm hiding in the barley bin.
Yeah?
I seen the leading man kneeling on the stage.
Yeah?
His hand is stuck out through the door and it's going up and down.
What did you do?
Well, I jumped out of the barley bin and I says, "Hey, Ham, what you doing there?" He says, "I'm rehearsing." "Rehearsing what?" says I. "Shaking hands," says he. "Shaking hands with who?" says I. "With a man off stage," says he.
He was kneeling down to shake hands?
He says in the play, this man outside the door's a midget.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, well, I'd never seen a midget. This was my chance, so I run round back.
What did he look like?
I still ain't seen no midget.
You mean the leading man wasn't shaking hands with a midget?
He weren't shaking hands with nobody.
Then why was his hand going up and down?
He was milking my cow. Don't mention actors to me.
As you wish, and thank you, Titus Crow. A young New York producer who experiments in the summer theater is Roderick Dubiel. I don't place your name in the theater, Mr. Dubiel, or Dubiel, rather.
Surely you must have heard of me. I am known around the automat as Roderick Dubiel, the frustrated Saroyan.
The frustrated Saroyan. You're a frustrated Saroyan, eh? Well, you are devoting your life to the theater.
To me, the theater is merely a test tube. In it, I brew all human emotions.
Oh, I see. And how do audiences react to your play?
What does it matter? The audience means nothing. The theater means nothing. The play means nothing.
And you?
I mean something.
Well, I didn't...
Did you see my play, Thread?
Thread? What was it like?
The curtain rises. Yes. 200 sewing machines are on the stage. Sewing, sewing. A silkworm enters. "The machine age," he mutters. The silkworm snares. The sewing machines cringe. Curtain! Think it over.
Yes, I... thought later in the week, I...
You saw my play crash?
Crash?
The curtain goes up. A bass drum is center stage. The drum is a symbol. On the drum rests a symbol. The symbol is a symbol.
Yeah.
The audience ponders. A termite smacks his lips. Curtain! You see the work I am doing?
Yes. Yes, I do. I do, unfortunately. Well, in your opinion, Mr. Dubiel, what is wrong with the theater?
The theater? The theater is afraid to experiment. Why should the actors always be on the stage and the audience in the seats?
Well, that is the custom, isn't it?
Custom, my buskin. I am changing all that.
When?
This summer. I am opening my season at Mooney's Meadow, New Hampshire.
Mooney's Meadow?
I am doing an Ibsen play in a windmill.
The actors perform inside the windmill?
Yes.
But where are you putting the audience?
The audience rides around in buckets on the 4 giant paddles. As the paddles pass the bottom of the windmill, the audience peeks in the door. Snatches of the play are seen.
But how do the people in each bucket know what the whole play is about?
Very simple. After the windmill stops, the groups from each bucket are introduced, views are exchanged, it dawns on them.
Remarkable, I must say. A revolutionary technique.
Thank you.
Well, tell me, Mr. Dubiel, what do you do when your season closes?
They come for me.
Who?
I don't know who they are. It's always the same 2 men in white coats.
And these 2 men carry a straitjacket?
How did you know?
They come for me, too. A little-known actress who is back from her summer season already, Miss Cuddles Cuddehy. You have concluded your season, Cuddles.
One night washed me up, mister.
Really? What happened?
Well, I've been navigating a Minsky melon all winter.
Navigating a Minsky melon?
Doing a bubble dance.
Oh, a bubble is a Minsky melon. Yeah. You're in burlesque, I take it.
I'm on every... every 15 minutes with different bubbles. Big bubbles, little bubbles.
Really, Junior Bubbles?
Yeah. No. For the finale, I'm supposed to be the spirit of wine. I dance behind a grape.
You do? Wine. But tell me, how did you get into the summer theater?
Well, one night I'm sitting in my dressing room putting a blowout patch on my bubble.
Uh-huh.
Well, there's a knock on the door.
Yes?
It's a talent scout. He signs me for some summer theater, the Vinegar Vat Volunteers.
The Vinegar Vat Volunteers. Well, you were going to appear in a legitimate play.
Yeah, the author wrote in two extra parts for me and me bubble.
Oh, well, that's very nice. We could be together. Well, why did you quit?
Well, the Vinegar Vat Volunteers is putting on their shows in this vinegar vat. Well, it's full of cracks and nut holes.
Oh, you mean the wind blows through?
You can fly a kite in the dressing rooms.
You can, really? But what happened?
Well, comes opening night, I dance on the stage with me bubble. I'm supposed to be a fawn toying with a gooseberry.
A fawn toying with a gooseberry, huh?
Yeah. Well, I start toying.
Yeah?
I'm controlling the bubble beautiful.
Oh, good for you.
Suddenly, a storm comes up outside. The wind starts whistling through the vat.
Yes?
And in no time, the stage is a tornado of zephyrs, gales, and gusts.
And you kept dancing?
It's me and the bubble all over.
What did you do?
Oh, what could I do? It's Moira. The wind is blowing. I'm dancing with the bubble. I'm dancing without the bubble. The bubble is dancing with me.
What a dilemma.
Yeah. First the wind blows, then the furniture blows, then the scenery blows, finally the bubble blows.
Well, how did you ever get off the stage?
In a patrol wagon.
Well, tell me, Cuddles, what are you doing the rest of the season?
30 days starting tomorrow.
You're perhaps the first bubble dancer to ever take a rap, and thank you, Cuddles Cudahy. And now a theater manager and actor who is disbanding his company, Sir Cedric Levine. You have been in show business a long time, Sir Cedric.
For 20 years, Sir Cedric is managing public theater. Always his own place. Mostly sequels.
Why? Well, how do you mean, Cedric? How do you mean sequel?
So soon a play is opening uptown. Downtown by Levine is opening a sequel.
Well, I don't get it.
Well, I'll give you for instance.
Good.
Uptown is opening The Man Who Is Coming to Dinner.
Yes?
By Levine, downtown is opening The Man Is Asking for Bicarbonate.
A sequel,
yes,
I see.
Yes. Uptown is opening The Corn Is Green.
Yes?
Downtown, I'm calling it By Levine, It Is Ripe.
These were all sequels?
Everyone. My sister Eileen is coming out, my brother Morris. Panama Hattie, Brooklyn Becky.
You played these shows in your own theater?
For 20 years, whole winter, Sir Cedric Levine is bringing the drama to the Lens.
What, was it successful?
Who knows? In the lobby, I'm selling men's suits wholesale.
You combine business and buffoonery.
Between the two, I am breaking even.
Well, tell me, what do you do in the summer?
Summers, I am closing up downtown and going up the river.
Oh, you give shows on the river, do you?
Up and down the Hudson is floating Levine's combination showboat and popular prize delicatessen.
But tell me, what did you sell?
Salami with Gilbert and Solomon. mostly revivals, especially the salami.
The salami.
Yeah.
You had a company of singers with you.
Who needs singers? I personally am singing all the songs with different kind of voices.
Oh, a one-man choir.
Yes, in Pinafore I'm singing, I'm sweet little Dixie Cup, dear little Dixie Cup,
oh,
sweet little
Dixie Cup. Sir Cedric, You mean sweet, not Dixie Cup, you mean sweet little Buttercup, don't you?
And Levine Showboat Butter you are not getting even in the lyrics.
What about your plans for this summer?
Well, for the first time in 20 years, this year, Levine Showboat is not sailing.
Why not?
The Senate is not making up its mind.
What has the Senate got to do with your showboat going up the river?
I am writing, do I need or don't I need? The Senate is not answering.
Do you need or don't you need what?
Convoys.
Well... Now, ladies and gentlemen, Kenny Baker sings Two Hearts That Pass in the Night.
Through the darkness hiding, silent ships go riding. And pass, and then are gone like summer rain. We met even so long. How are we to know love if we part tonight when we may in the night, in the magical light of the moon, knowing how soon night is gone. Two hearts that join in a glance and discover romance as I made, only to fade with the dawn. So, for an hour you were mine, and my heart was aglow with a power beyond divine. Taste of delight. Must they always be lonely, alas? Two hearts that pass in the night. So, for an hour you were mine, and my heart was aglow with a power beyond. Divining, two hearts have tasted delight. Must they always be lonely, alas? Two hearts that pass in the night.
Was swell, Kenny. Believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, as I was coming to the studio, on my way to the studio tonight, I heard an automobile parked at the curb muttering to itself. I went over to the thing, and I heard the car saying,
"Honk, honk. Today I am a sedan. And boy, am I in a spot."
So I said to the car, "What's the matter, little car?"
"My owner's planning on taking me on a vacation trip."
"Yeah?
Don't let him do that to me."
"Why not?"
"I ain't ready. My chassis ain't been marfacked. My crankcase is full of worn-out oil. I got a rear tire that's ready to blow out any minute. Don't let him take me. I'll spoil this trip."
Now. Don't be so ungrammatical, little car. Wipe those tears off your headlights. Now, I tell you, I can get Larry Elliott to fix everything up for you. Now, tonight, when I get down to the program, I'll have Larry speak to your owner and say,
"Mr. Car Owner, let a Texaco dealer get your car in shape for hard vacation travel. He'll safeguard the chassis with a Marfac job, Texaco's famous chassis lubrication service. He'll change the crankcase over to insulated Havilland or Texaco motor oil for full engine protection in high-speed, hot-weather driving. And if your car needs new tires or a battery, most Texaco dealers carry a complete line of nationally advertised brands. There's still another way your Texaco dealer can help make your trip a safe and pleasant one. Through Texaco Touring Service, he will secure all the information you need about any trip you have in mind, give you a complete up-to-the-minute routing that will avoid detours, take you around large cities, and give you your choice of the shortest or most scenic route. So before you start your vacation trip or any trip, see a Texaco dealer.
Guitars played by Maestro Goodman and 17 men who followed him home from the racetrack the day he won the Daily Double. Now, at this time, hello, Portland.
Hello.
Say, what is in that package you have there? Something for me?
Oh, no. It's a box of eggs I'm sending to my cousin in the Army.
Oh, he likes eggs, does he?
He hates eggs, but he says it's too much trouble to eat meat in the Army.
What trouble?
Well, he says before he can enjoy a hamburger steak, he has to go out and count the mules.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's another egg you can put in the package for your cousin.
Say, Porty, have you seen my yo-yo?
No, Kenny.
Mr. Goodman, have you seen my yo-yo?
Who could seeing a yo-yo? A yo-yo you are hearing, not seeing.
What do you mean, philosopher, you hear a yo-yo?
Yo-yo is a part of a yodel. Yo-yo-yo.
Now, wait a minute. Stop that hog calling, Mr. Goodman.
Yes, a yo-yo isn't a yodel, Mr. Goodman.
No. So what is a yo-yo?
It's a thing that goes up and down on a string.
Sure. Only one thing I know is going up and down on a string.
What is that, Maestro?
A violin player's little finger, the pinky.
I ought to know better than talk to the man.
No, Mr. Goodman. A yo-yo is like a string top.
How can a top be a string? This is two different things, altogether opposite.
You got your tongue confused now. Say, how do you... You're not only breaking English, you are shattering it tonight. How do you mean? How do you mean two different things altogether opposite?
A top is a top, obviously.
Obviously. And string?
String is a rope that is never having a chance.
Fine.
String could also be thread with a goiter.
Please, Maestro, now...
Guys, I gotta find that yo-yo. It's holding up my packing.
Oh, what are you packing, Kenny?
Oh, everything, Porty. My Superman belt, my Mickey Mouse sweater, my cellophane pinwheel. Now, if I can only find my yo-yo, I'll be all set.
Did you see Kenny's yo-yo, Mr. Goodman?
Yo-yo, you are not seeing. You are hearing.
Yo-yo, you
are hearing. Now, wait, wait. Maestro, Maestro, please. We've done that routine. The rest of us are on the next page. Now, turn over there.
Oh, excuse me.
You stop going to night school now. You see what happens. Now, where were we? Oh, yes. Now, what's this about packing, Kenny? Don't forget, this program isn't finished until next Wednesday night.
Oh, I can't wait to get away, F.A. I'm all in.
All in from what?
I've been working hard all winter. Look at all the songs I've sung. Amapola, Jeannie with a light brown hair. Amapola, Jeannie with a light brown hair. Amapola.
Kenny has worked hard, Mr. Allen.
I've been singing like a dog. Why, I've taken Kathleen... Why, I've taken Kathleen home so many times, she's going to sue me for breach of promise.
Goodman also is working hard.
What do you mean, you work hard?
It is easy every week to get harmony out of 20 relatives.
I see what you mean. Take the instruments away from your orchestra, and what have you got?
A family reunion.
Right. Now, look, Kenny.
Oh, I'm a wreck, F.A. I'm going to get out in the woods and rough it.
Rough it?
You bet. I'm going primitive, F.A. No milk on my Krispies. No trim in my toast. No Eskimo pies.
Gosh, you'll be practically a savage, Kenny.
Oh, I can see myself now. There I am, lost in the forest. My wedgies covered with dust. My hair tousled, my mustache all matted.
Wait a minute, wait a minute. You haven't got a mustache.
I'll grow one. Hair grows in the forest. Look at the possums, look at the bear.
Well, you've got a bear upper lip now. You're too young to grow a mustache, Kenny.
Once when I, Goodman, was a little shaver, I am trying to grow a mustache.
How'd you make it come out, Mr. Goodman?
I'm rubbing on my lip chicken schmaltz. The whites of two eggs and a turkey giblet.
And a mustache grew?
Two hairs are growing out and four feathers.
Fine. Well, if you want your upper lip to look like a sparrow's wing, Kenny, there's your recipe.
Well, you can laugh, F.A. When I get back, you won't know me from Tarzan.
Well, where are these woods, Kenny?
Oh, I don't know, Porty. It's a place called Camp Kilcare. It's a branch of the Rover Boys.
The Rover Boys, yeah. Say, have you enrolled?
Well, I sent in my application, and I'm just waiting to be examined.
And if I know radio, whoever is at that door has something to do with your examination. Come in. What is this? A runt in a Boy Scout suit all alone walks in here and yells, Company Halt.
Who's Kenny Baker?
I'm Kenny Baker.
When you're addressing a superior officer, Baker, say, sir.
Yes, sir. Sir?
Say, who are you, Spratt?
I am Chief Tetley, officer in charge of Camp Kilcare.
Oh, are you going to examine Kenny?
Yes, madam.
Oh, I knew it all the time. I knew it.
Baker has made application to become a Rover Boy. If he meets our requirements, I shall pass him today.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy, what, Baker?
Oh, boy, sir.
That's better. Have you learned your Rover Boy code?
Yes, sir. A Rover Boy is trustworthy. A Rover Boy is loyal. He is courteous. He is friendly. He is kind. He is physically and mentally on the alert.
Very good, Baker. Does a Rover Boy ever lose his temper, Baker?
No, sir.
What does a boy do if he's tempted to become angry?
He recites the official Rover Boy reminder poem, Control.
And how does our Control poem go?
A Rover Boy, when his anger mounts, he never speaks, he stops and counts. He never utters that nasty word. He never emits a resounding bird.
What does the Rover Boy do, Baker?
He counts to 10 while his anger is mounting.
And if he's still mad at 10?
He keeps on counting.
Bravo, Baker! Gad, lad, you've got the stuff. Always remember, if you're about to lose your temper, count to 10.
Yes, sir.
Now, Baker, salute. I'll induct you. Kenny Kenny, I hereby proclaim you to be a member of the Rover Boys in good standing. From this day forth, you are to be known as Tenderfoot Baker.
Tenderfoot Baker. Gee, thank you, sir.
Congratulations, Tenderfoot.
Thanks, Porty.
Congratulations, Tenderfeet Baker.
Thanks, Mr. Goodman.
Well, all right now. If you're finished, Kenny, tell this little fink to haul drum here.
Who is this person, Tenderfoot?
This is Mr. Allen, Chief Tetley.
Grotesque chap, isn't he?
Why, you little crumb. I'd like to be a pigeon for about 2 minutes.
You, sir, have the manners of a mink. Why, if I...
Oh, don't lose your temper, Chief.
Oh, yes. 1, 2, 3...
Why, I ought to pull your nose down and bend it into your mouth.
If I didn't have this drum on...
If I had a hairbrush, I'd fill you so full of bristles, you'd have to shave before you could sit down.
To your sinus, and you'll have 3 bags under your eyes.
Quiet, or I'll peel off your skin and make a duffel bag out of it.
That's done it. That's done it. Why, you...
Chief Tetley, remember, control.
Oh, yes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5...
Gosh, you should be ashamed to pick on a little boy, Mr. Allen.
Well, he started on me, didn't he, Mr. Goodman?
The kid is pulling a knife on him. This I'm seeing personally.
Why, I ought to pull that drum down over that brat's head and make a sarong out of it.
46, 47, 48...
49, 50...
51...
Oh, cut it out, fellas. Do you want me to get thrown out of the Rover Boys?
Yeah. Fortunately for a certain party, my temper has cooled.
Why, you little schlump.
Mr. Allen, control!
Oh, all right. 1, 2, 3, 4...
Very well, Tenderfoot. You have your camping equipment, your jacks and beanbag.
Oh, yes, sir.
Jacks and beanbag? What do you Rover Boys do in camp?
We have scads of fun. I plan each day.
Well, what is the routine, Chief Tetley?
We rise at the crack of dawn for toothbrush drill and chow.
Yes.
Then a busy morning hiking, tying knots, visiting our feathered friends. Lunch, and we're ready for our nap.
You couldn't demonstrate a nap right now, could you?
Oh, quit heckling, Effie. What comes after lunch, Chief?
We pick wildflowers.
Oh, goody.
Then a hectic afternoon wigwagging and home higgledy-piggledy straight to our tents for flap maneuvers.
Flap maneuvers?
Yes. Flap right, flap left, flap up, flap down, flap flap.
We get the idea. You're flap happy.
Gee, Chief Tetley, a day in camp sure sounds exciting.
Yes, it is, Tenderfoot. But it's after supper the fun begins.
With me, too, after supper it begins. Cramps with heartburn.
Maestro.
What comes after supper, Chief Tetley?
Oh, it's rollicking, really. I convulse the lads with a Peter Rabbit story. When the laughter dies down, a brief sing, taps, and we turn in.
Oh, I can't wait for the sing, Chief Tetley.
Well, I'm always in the mood for a sing, Tenderfoot. How about singing our Rover Boy song right now?
Oh, let's go, Chief.
We're Rover Boys, we like to rove. We rove all over the map. A Rover Boy who doesn't rove is nothing but a sap.
Too high, Chief.
We hike, we swim, we hunt, we fish, we do everything but work. A Rover Boy who takes a job is nothing but a jerk.
All right, now, all right. That's the end of that. That's the blow-off.
I'll expect you at Camp Kilcare next week, Tenderfoot.
Yes, sir.
And don't forget the password is chickadee.
Chickadee?
Yes. Good night, all.
And now, Wynn Murray, Texaco's girlfriend, sings What Do You Do on a Rainy Day?
What do you do on a rainy day? Where do you go when it rains? And take a walk when the rain starts to play a tic-tac on my window pane. I always save for a rainy day, a special something to do. And so whenever the weather is gray, I spend an afternoon with you. Cocktails for two, firelight and dancing. It's cozy within while it's stormy without. Looking at you sets me romancing. Your eyes are so tender, they seem to surrender. What do I care if the day is drear? One sweet solution remains. We simply kiss and the sky is clear, and that's what I do. When the rain comes tumbling down, for me there's nothing depressing about a rainy day in town. What do you do on a rainy day? Where do you go when it rains? Can't take a walk. When the rain starts to play a tic-tac on my window panes, I always say, for a rainy day, a special something to do. And so whenever the weather is gray, I spend an afternoon with you. Cocktails for two, firelight and dancing. It's cozy within while it's stormy without. Looking at you sets me romancing. Your eyes are so tender, they seem to surrender. What do I care if the day is drear? One sweet solution remains. We simply kiss and the sky is clear. And that's what I do. That's what I do.
Mexico Star Theater will continue immediately after a short pause for your station identification. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Thank you. And now, ladies and gentlemen, may I present an eminent man of science, the well-known professor of dudology, Mr. Chamomile T. Week, Jr., who will speak to
Fred,
us...
Fred, hold everything.
What's the trouble, Jimmy? I was just about to ease gently into a commercial here. Say,
Fred, there's a man outside who says he wants to speak to you.
Well, he'll have to wait until after the program, Jimmy. I can't
but
stop...
But, Fred, they say this man is District Attorney Dewey.
Who?
Thomas E. Dewey, the New York District Attorney.
You're listening to Same Time, Same Station, the best of old-time radio.
I don't know, Fred.
And I'm your host, Jerry Hendigas.
Well, if it's really the District Attorney, don't keep him waiting out there, Jimmy. Tell him to come in.
Right.
Will you come in, Mr. Dewey?
Well, this is indeed an honor and a pleasure, Mr. Dewey.
Thanks. It's nice to see you, too, Fred.
You're not here on business, I hope.
Yes, I'm afraid I am.
You mean I have done something?
Well, it's nothing you've done, Fred. It's something I want you to do.
Not 30 days, Mr. Dewey.
No, Fred, but after what I've heard here tonight, that wouldn't be enough. I'm here on business, but it's a cheerful sort of business. I want to sign you up for the USO, the United Service Organization.
Yes, I've been reading about the USO, Mr. Dewey. The organization plans to run service clubs for the soldiers and sailors, doesn't it?
Exactly. The government is building 360 of these camps in the near towns, near the big camps. And the USO is raising money to operate them.
But I thought that the Army and the Navy had taken over all of the men's recreational activities.
That's true, in the camps. But we didn't send these men to concentration camps. No American boy wants to stay in camp all the time. When he gets a night off, he wants to go to town as a free American. And he has a right to see a few folks in civilian clothes, to get away from the brass hats and the sergeants. But when he gets to town, there's literally no place for him to go. The towns near these camps have business sections 4 blocks long. There's no place to sit down except on the curb. In the last 6 weeks, I've visited a great many of these big camps with 30,000 or 40,000 men. They're put down in areas where there's nothing but grass and acres around and a few little villages some miles away. These places have accommodations only for their own folks. And when thousands of men come for an evening or the weekend, well, you can imagine what the towns look like. That's where the USO comes in. We're raising $11 million to give our men some decent place to go.
Well, how is your drive progressing, Mr. Dewey?
The response has been swell, Fred.
That's fine.
In fact, I expect to have a mighty handsome progress report to make public in about 2 days. I got a wire this afternoon you might like to hear about. Up in Bath, Maine, they have a great shipbuilding center.
Yes, I know it.
And they have a quota of $1,700 in Bath, Maine.
$1,700.
And the drive's been going 2 weeks. And from these shipyard workers, they've raised not $1,700, but $5,800, and they say they're going to keep right on going for another month.
Well, that's swell.
People all over the country seem to want to help as soon as they learn the need. This is the first chance most of us have had to do a part in national defense, and millions of people haven't had their chance to contribute at all. So I'm able to announce tonight that they needn't wait until they're asked. They can mail in their dollars, as much as they can send, to their local USO committee. Or, if they haven't a local committee yet, to USO Empire State Building, New York. And in return, they'll get a USO pin as a sort of badge of honor to show that they've done their part to back up their own country's defenders.
Well, thank you a lot for coming here tonight to tell us about the USO, Mr. Dewey. You say the address is the Empire State Building, New York City?
That's right, Fred.
Well, I'll be happy to mail in my check right after the program.
Well, if I can be sure of that...
Yes, you can be sure.
Here's the USO pin anyway. I'm happy to pin it on you. You're in the Army, behind the Army now.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Dewey. Thank you. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Kenny Baker has chosen for his second number, Beautiful Dreamer.
To me, starlight and dewdrops are waiting for thee. Songs of the old world heard in the day, loved by the moonlight, have all passed away. Beautiful dreamer, queen of my song, list while I woo thee with soft melody. Gone are the cares of life's busy throng. Beautiful dreamer, awake unto me. Unto me. Beautiful my heart, keen as the morn on the streamlet and sea. Then will our clouds of sorrow depart. Beautiful dreamer, awake unto me.
Well, Kenny, you're welcome, you're welcome, you're welcome.
What's the matter, Fred? What are you mumbling about?
Well, I'm just rehearsing, Jimmy. You're welcome.
Rehearsing what?
Well, I'm rehearsing that phrase the Texaco dealers use. You know, you're welcome. As one of the more than 45,000 Texaco dealers, James, I certainly should know the right way to say you're welcome. You know, with the
Well, that's simple, Fred. Just say, you're welcome.
Oh, no, Jimmy. It's not as easy as all that. There are so many ways, different ways you can say it. For instance, you can say, you're welcome, or you can say, you're welcome, or you're welcome. Why, you can even sing it.
No.
Have to be
no,
careful, Fred. You know, in these times, those notes I sing, those are my own notes. My lawyer's right here.
Look, Fred, let me tell you, it doesn't matter how you say it.
No?
If you're a Texaco dealer, people know you mean what you say regardless, because the motoring public has found that there are many practical ways in which Texaco dealers make you feel you're welcome. One of the most appreciated, especially by the ladies and by families on long trips, is the Texaco Registered Restroom Service. For the green and white Texaco Registered Restroom sign assures you absolute cleanliness, a place completely equipped with soap, running water, fresh towels, and a mirror. Wise motorists have long realized how much this meant when they were driving far. And now they can enjoy this Texaco highway courtesy when they're driving late, too. For now and throughout the touring season, Texaco dealers will offer all-night service at certain convenient points on all national highways. So stop in anytime, day or night. Remember, you're welcome at Texaco dealers.
Now the Texaco Workshop Players. Tonight they present their sequel to that great classic of the Bullring, the drama that made a star of Rudolph Valentino and recently won new laurels for Tyrone Power in his 20th Century Fox picture, Blood and Sand. Ladies and gentlemen, some of the dialogue in the following play is spoken in pure Castilian Spanish. During the action of the play, these native speeches will be translated for you by Professor Don Luis Valdego. Professor Valdego.
Gracias. Buenos días, señores y señores. ¿Dónde está? English translation, I will explain.
Thank you, Don Luis Valdego.
Mucho gracias. English translation, hockey.
On with our dramatic slice of life, as life is sliced in sunny Spain. Our sequel, then, to Blood and Sand.
Blood and Sand, a romantic tale of the most colorful figures in old Spain, the bullfighters. For 10 generations, the greatest family of toreadors to grace the bullrings of all Spain were the Don Allens, Don Jose Allen the Magnificent, Don Humberto Allen the Fearless, and many others. But today, the story is different. Today, shirking the tradition of the gallant Don Allen name, is the notorious Spanish coward, Don Federico Allen. His record?
In 20 years of bullfighting, Don Federico has yet to kill the first bull. Every bull in Spain has already tasted Don Federico. At bull rings, he is billed Don Federico Allen, for whom the bulls drool.
Our drama tonight concerns the final episode in the craven life of this notorious anemic coward. It is called No Blood and No Sand.
The scene, the opening day of Madrid's Fiesta Grande El Toro.
Fiesta Grande El Toro. English translation, the biggest bullfight.
We find Don Federico in his dressing room. As the hour of the fight draws near, the management, taking no chances, has nailed up all doors and windows. Pancho, Don Federico's faithful dresser, enters the room.
Buenos dias, Don Federico.
Pancho, mon amigo, Toreadoro, I'll soon be on the floor, oh, the bull will let her roar, oh, I'll be full of gore, oh.
It is good to hear you sing. You are happy.
I am sing, Pancho, but I am not happy. Today, I am to fight the bull.
Si. For 50 years, I have served the Don Allens. Never before one is afraid.
Today, one is afraid.
Why you are afraid? Tyrone Power is killing the bull?
Si, but that is not the real bull. Inside the bull, Tyrone Power is to kill. Inside the bull is Don Amici. I am to fight the real bull.
Today is your last chance, Don Federico. You must bring back the honor of the family. You must kill the bull.
Not me, Pancho. Adios. Tell the bull I went this way.
It is too late to run, senor. They have bolted the doors.
Bolted the doors?
Si.
Si. Today the honor of the Don Allens is at stake. There is but one way out.
They have nailed the window also, Don Federico.
Caramba. I am trapped like the rato in the trap hole.
English translation, the jig is up.
What to do, Pancho? What to do? I am frightened of the bull.
Polo grasa. Polo grasa.
English translation, chicken fat. Delicious.
You come from the Toreador family. For 200 years, the Don Allens are making with the bull.
Not Don Federico.
Si, Don Federico. Oh. You are the bravest bullfighter in all Spain.
Oh, no, no,
si,
no.
You have the courage of the tiger. You have the heart of the lion. You...
Go on, Pancho. What you waiting for?
Lightning to strike me.
Oh, you make joke.
No, senor. Think you are brave, and you will be brave.
Si, you say I am to be
si.
Brave. I can say I am brave.
Si.
But who will tell the bull I am brave?
Oh, the bull will not know.
Polo grasa, polo grasa.
English translation, chicken fat. Still delicious.
You cannot pull the bull over the bull.
But you must fight this bull.
No, no, at heart. Don Federico is vegetarian. I will not fight.
Are you ready, Don Federico?
Bachelero, my manager. I am quitting. I resign.
Quitting? You're crazy. The arena is sold out.
But I am frightened.
Don't worry, mouse heart. Everything is el fixo.
English translation is in the bag.
Get away, Professor. You bother me.
You have nothing to worry about. Everything is el fixo.
English translation, same as before.
Beat it, Professor. You're overdoing it.
Excuse, please.
What do you mean, el fixo, bachelero?
I mean you are not fighting a bull.
No?
No, you are going to fight a cow.
The, cow?
Si, I fix it. We hooked a girdle on the cow. The crowd will not know the difference.
Si, si, si. It's good. But the cow, she has horns?
No, we cut them off and put on rubber horns for
it. Si, it's good, good, good. Hard rubber?
No, no, a sponge rubber. Now, are you happy?
Oh, si, si, very happy. This cow, she has teeth?
I pull out all her teeth. What can she do? All right, so she'll gum you a little.
You have done well, bachelero. Suddenly I feel the brave blood of the Don Allens rushing through my veins. Today it is Don El Federico against the wild beast. Today I am to kill, kill, kill.
English translation, he'll murder that bull.
See, I will kill, kill,
bueno,
kill.
Bueno, bueno, I will go out and sneak that cow past the judges. Adios.
Adios. Pancho, mon amigo.
Si, Don Federico.
My Toreador suit, Pancho.
Si.
The velvet tights.
Si.
The satin windbreaker.
Si.
The chinchilla spats.
Si, senor. In the tights, I will stuff excelsior where it should be muscle.
Plenty stuffing, Pancho.
Si, si.
My dancing sweetheart, Carmencita, will to be in the stands. More stuffing, Pancho.
Si, si.
Today, Don Federico will be the big man. I will kill, kill, kill. Someone is to the door, Pancho.
Si, I will see.
Si, 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 no.
Ay, 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 do the tango from Honda.
Carmencita, my little dancing pigeon.
Si, my big, strong bullfighter.
Si, after I am killed the bull, you will marry me, my little zoftig tamale.
Si, my cucaracha grande.
Kiss me, my little enchilada.
Si, my oomph, muchacho.
Boys, good, bird, good boys.
What
good.
Is going on here?
Ah, bachelero, bring on the bull.
What bull? We are sunk, dog.
Sunk?
Si, the bull. The judges discovered it was a cow.
Caramba, how is this?
Just as we passed the judge's stand, the cow's girdle started slipping. I tried to pull it down. Before I got it fixed, she gave 4 quarts of milk.
What is going on?
Your boyfriend's got to fight a real bull, Carmencita.
Which bull?
The judges have selected El Zombie.
El Zombie?
The most ferocious bull in all Spain.
Haga el fame de dama mi paquete. Cuanta dura la travesía de nada español. Caramba, feliz.
English translation. The insurance man is to cancel in the policy.
This is no good, no good.
See, Don Federico, it would be suicide to fight El Zombie. Look at him. Here is his picture on the program.
Ah, this bull, she is looking like Boris Karloff on all four.
El Zombie's travel all over the world like Elsie, the cow. He's won prizes everywhere.
What is this hanging on the left horn?
That is the photographer who took the picture.
See? This bull, she looks familiar.
Well, I go tell the judges it's all.
Wait, caramba, this bull, I will fight.
What?
What? Don Federico Allen will fight El Zombie.
This is station ONION Madrid. Direct from the Chili Bowl, at this time we bring you the bullfight of the century. Don Federico Allen, the famous coward, has announced he will fight the man-killing bull, El Zombie. The crowd is wild as Don Federico enters the ring. Will Don Federico run? Will he collapse from fright? No! Don Federico finishes rolling his cigarette. He lights it calmly as he waits for El Zombie to enter the arena. And now, as we wait for El Zombie, just a few words from our sponsor.
I want my money back.
And now the bullpen door opens. El Zombie charges into the ring. The fight is on. It's man against beast. But no matter who wins, we're barbecuing the loser. El Zombie sees Don Federico. The bull dashes across the ring. It's going to be a massacre. I can't look. Wait a minute, folks. What is this? The bull is charging. Don Federico doesn't move. He's calmly puffing his cigarette. El Zombie is almost on top of him. Don Federico disdainfully blows some smoke in the bull's face, and El Zombie stops dead in his tracks. Don Federico coolly approaches him, raises his sword, and with one thrust it is over. Don Federico has killed El Zombie. And now we take you to the bull ring for a few words from Don Federico himself. Take it away, bull ring.
And here he is, folks, Don Federico Allen.
Grazie, signore, signore. The great name of Don Allen, she is vindicated.
But how did you make the bull stop in his tracks, Don Federico?
They say El Zombie has win prize all over the world.
See?
I am look at the picture. I am recognized El Zombie. In America, he has win prize and pose for billboard picture to advertise La Tabac.
See?
I am smoking La Tabac. I am blowing smoke in El Zombie's face. He is afraid to kill me. I kill him.
He was afraid to kill you?
See, as employee, Bull Durham Company, El Zombie cannot afford to lose a customer. The hand music, Goodman. Since actions speak louder than words, we're a little late, ladies and gentlemen, so good night. Good night.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.